This meeting of the Energy Communications Cybersecurity Subcommittee is called to order. Amy, please silence your phones, electronic devices. Amy, please call the roll.
Chair Joe Lombardo.
Here.
Vice Chair Lamarca is excused. Democratic Ranking Member Joseph.
Here.
Representatives Alvarez.
Here.
Antone. Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy. Caruso.
Here.
Cassell.
Here.
Chambliss.
Here.
Clemmons.
Here.
Duggan.
Here.
Gossett Sideman.
Here.
Griffiths.
Here.
McFarland.
Here.
Robinson is excused. Jaeger.
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you. Let the record reflect that a quorum is present. All right, so we got three bills up today. The first bill we'll hear is HB 1147, broadband by Representative Tomko. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In an effort to speed up an incentivized broadband deployment, this bill simply extends the promotional rate that municipal electric utilities offer broadband providers to expand service into unserved and underserved areas. This promo rate was originally passed in 2021 session, but expires in 6 months, and that is the bill.
Thank you. Members, do we have any questions? So we have no questions. We have no amendments. We have public testimony on this. All right, we have Ryan Matthews with the Florida Municipal Electric Association, waves in support. And then we have Adam Brasford, Associated Industries of Florida, wave in support. Members, do we have any debate on this bill? Oh, one more, never mind. All right, it was hidden. Let's see. All right, so we have Shantae Jones from AARP, waves in support. All right, members, do we have any debate on this bill? Seeing we have no debate, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
All right, Amy, please call the roll.
Chair Joe Lombardo.
Yes.
Vice Chair Lamarca, excused. Ranking Democratic Member Joseph.
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez.
Yes.
Antone. Campbell.
Yes.
Kennedy. Caruso.
Yes.
Cassell.
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Clemmons?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Gossett Sideman?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Robinson is excused. Jaeger?
Yes.
13-0.
Thank you. Congratulations. Your vote will be reported favorably. All right. Next up, we have Representative Bankson, HB 769. Assessment of renewable energy sources devices. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In 2013, HB 277 created 193.624 Florida statute, which implemented the constitutionally allowed and ad valorem exemption for solar, wind, and geothermal renewable energy source devices. Under this law, production infrastructure and equipment related to solar, geothermal, and wind energy are granted a tax exemption for being considered as tangible personal property for the purpose of property taxes. Now, 10 years later, the implementation of this exemption for renewable natural gas appears to be a renewable energy source type, which may end up as a more significant contribution to the state energy mix than wind or geothermal. This legislation would add equipment and infrastructure related to renewable natural gas to the pre-existing property tax abatement, extending the same incentive by the way of tax exemption to RNG that other renewables enjoy. Mr. Chair, that is the bill.
All right. Thank you, members. Is there any questions on the bill? You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for this bill, Representative Bankston. My first question is, how is this environmentally friendly to our environment?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, thank you for that question. This is energy that right now is just escaping into the atmosphere. The biogases that are produced, they're not being harnessed, and it's actually more harmful to those who have that genuine concern. What this does is it captures that and transfers that, converts it into renewable natural gas and puts it into that supply, which is a consistent supply. Whereas we struggle, of course, with solar and wind, those are intermittent based on, how our weather patterns go. So this really helps to underscore and supply clean energy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As far as the long-term ramifications of this bill, what would we see long-term regarding this?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Good question. Again, the benefit of clean energy, of course, it also is an incentive to see this as an industry begin to expand, that although there is that ad valorem for the local tax base, it will increase the revenues based upon royalties that they can enter into with these projects and actually become good to develop this source of clean energy.
One last one.
And just last question. Does this in any way impact the rate where we're seeing more increased solar use, increased wind use? Does this impact that any in any way when we're talking about energy, renewable energy?
Directness.
Thank you. Absolutely not. It actually will enhance those things. So again, with solar and wind, these are great sources of clean energy, but the problem is when there's no wind, it's not producing. When the sun is hidden, it slows that. So we know that there's a gap. We see this in California and Texas that are struggling with this. This actually accents those things. So it doesn't hinder. It actually, improves the operation for clean energy.
Representative Caruso, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Representative. Revenue Estimating Conference was supposed to meet today. Did they happen by chance meet this morning and give us a number?
Yes,
they did. For ad valorem tax.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, they did. And it begins with about $500,000 in the first couple of years, eventually to $1.3 million as the industry increases. Again, offset with the benefits that this will produce.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Thank you, sir. I guess does the bill provide for a sunset date for these, credits or exemptions from tax?
Thank you. Not that I'm aware of right now. I can dig into that and get you more information, but no.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have any more questions?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Following up on Representative Campbell's questions, I was processing what you said. It's still methane gas, so that's still releasing carbon into the environment, which is still harmful to the environment in terms of global warming, right?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Thanks for the question. Actually, it's the reverse. It is being released now and simply being burned off. What this will do will actually capture it and convert it and put it into the clean energy, renewable natural gas, as opposed to the methane gas.
Okay. All right, so in the short term, it's positive. To his other question about long-term ramifications, so when people are making investment decisions in terms of infrastructure, or not even just people, let's say companies are making these investment decisions, I don't know the details, but I feel like somewhat recently the federal government had also put out some incentives to encourage people to make certain kinds of investment. Does this support or undercut those kinds of investment encouragements?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, these things, this is being released into the air now. What this does, it won't cut into those sources of energy because, such as landfills, these gases, the biogases are being released. And so the only way to capture those is to capture that and convert it. So it really won't hinder those other sources of renewables.
Okay. Members, any other questions? All right, you have an amendment. You are recognized to explain your amendment.
Yes, thank you. This amendment is basically very simple clarifications to the language from staff.
Questions on the amendment? You have a question? All right, public testimony on the amendment? Nope. Debate on the amendment? Nope. And close on your amendment?
Wave close.
All right. Without any objections, show the amendment adopted. All right, so we have any more, public testimony. We have three here. Victoria Price with Chesapeake Utilities waves in support. Dale Calhoun with the Florida National Gas Association waves in support. And Brian Bautista with People's Gas waves in support. All right, members, does anybody have debate? No debate. You are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will be very quick on that. It's simply put, with this positive support, it's creating an incentive to turn brown waste into green energy. And with that, I close.
Thank you. Amy, please call the roll.
Chair Joe Lombardo?
Yes.
Vice Chair LaMarca is excused. Ranking Democratic Member Joseph? Yes. Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Antone?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Kennedy? Caruso?
Yes.
Cassell?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Robinson is excused. Yeager?
Yes.
15-0.
All right. Thank you. Congratulations. The bill will be reported favorably. All right. Next up, last but certainly not least, we have HB 1277 by Representative Busada Cabrera, Municipal Utilities. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. And I do have a strike all. I don't know if we want to take that up first.
All right. Yep, we're going to go to the strike all. You are recognized to explain your strike all.
Thank you. I appreciate that, since the strike all is significantly different than the originally filed version. So there's a few different components to this strike all. It provides that a new extended, renewed, or materially amended agreement for the provision of municipal utility service at retail to customers located in another municipality or in an unincorporated area must be written and may not become effective before a public meeting is held in the service area for the purpose of providing certain information and soliciting public input on matters related to the agreement. It requires annual customer meetings to be held in such service areas for the purpose of soliciting public input on utility-related matters. It requires that these meetings be held in conjunction with specified governing bodies for areas in which the service is provided. It provides that a municipality that generates revenue from the provision of utility service to customers located in another municipality or in an unincorporated area may not use more than 10% of the gross revenues generated from such services to fund or finance general government functions. And specifically on that part, we've gotten some feedback today that says that that wasn't as clear as we would want it. So we will be seeing some more language in the next hearing to clarify that. It removes provisions that limit transfers from municipal utility revenues based on rates of return on equity approved by the Public Service Commission. It requires annual data reporting regarding the provision of municipal utility service to customers located in another municipality or in unincorporated areas. It retains provisions that reduce the maximum rate differential between municipal water and sewer utility customers located within and outside the municipal boundaries. And finally, it retains provisions that prohibit the imposition of a surcharge on customers located in certain other municipalities. And that is the strike all.
Thank you. Members, do we have any questions on the strike all? Representative Campbell, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for answering my questions earlier. And since there are more revisions to be done to this bill, I'll hold off those questions until I see those revisions. But in regarding your amendment, why is natural gas included when customers have a choice, unlike electric, sewer, and water services?
You recognize.
Thank you. So there are some municipalities that provide natural gas, and they do their own natural gas through the municipality. Oh. So we're bringing in all municipal utilities.
All right. Representative Cassell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative. You mentioned in your opening with regards to this strike all that when we're talking about new contracts that are entered into services for municipalities serving customers outside of the municipality, does your strike all at all deal with contracts that are currently in place? Is it going to provide cities an opportunity to maybe renegotiate those contracts and have that hearing? Or what happens with contracts that are already existing?
Thank you, Chair. So it says that a new, extended, renewed, or materially amended contract would have to have a public hearing. So when they go to either renew that contract, change that contract, amend that contract, they would have to do a public hearing at that point.
Thank you. And as it pertains to, it's my understanding of reviewing the bill that your bill eliminates the ability for municipalities to charge a surcharge. So if they're no longer able to charge a surcharge that's different for customers outside the municipality, what is the need for the hearing?
Thank you, Chair. So those are two separate things. So we eliminate the 50% surcharge that currently they can do for the sake of someone just living beyond their municipality. And we lower that to the 25% with a hearing. But on the public hearing, that's so the public can give input. A lot of what I've heard for why municipal utilities shouldn't be regulated is that the people vote for them, and if they don't like what they're doing, they can vote someone out of office. But when you live beyond that municipal boundary, you don't get to vote for those people. So the hearing is specifically for the areas that the municipal utility is servicing that is not within their municipal boundary. So, and that would be put on the area that they live in to hold a public hearing when they enter into that agreement with the municipal utility.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the event that those residents that live in communities that do have elected officials, and those elected officials made the decision and entered into the agreement with the other city, are those situations where hearing and public input is still going to be required because the thought process is they're being taxed without the representation, even though they do have the representation and their elected officials that have made the decision to enter into a contract with a different city to provide those services? Is a hearing still going to be necessary in that situation?
Thank you, Chair. Yes. So you would still have a hearing for those areas, for those elected officials entering into that agreement.
Representative Dugan, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for all your hard work on this. I know you've been meeting with certainly representatives of my city, Jacksonville, and with JEA, which is a municipally owned utility. I want to clarify this meeting requirement. So as I'll give you some specific facts. So in Duval, we have, in Duval County, City of Jacksonville, which owns JEA, we have a 19-member city council. Is that meeting that you're now going to require, does that require all 19 city council members of Jacksonville to go to St. John's County, where they also provide utility service, and have a meeting with that 5-member board? So is it the two boards that are meeting? Who's has to be in the meeting?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. So the idea, and I'm open to some clarifying language if you think there's a better way to write the intent here, but the idea is not with that board. So the meeting would be specifically in the area that is being serviced that's not within the municipal boundary of the municipal utility.
So thank you. So just to clarify, in this sense, in this example I just laid out, so if JEA is servicing St. John's County, are you saying the St. John's County Board of County Commissioners has to hold the meeting and provide notice and opportunity to be heard for the St. John's County customers about this arrangement, but the City of Jacksonville folks don't have to come to that meeting?
You're right.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, that would be correct. And, you know, I would be open to discussion if, you know, the most efficient way, or if it's not clearly written that way, if it's during their normal commission hearing or normal council meeting as part of their agenda item to allow the opportunity for public input, if that would be the most efficient way so they're not having to host an additional meeting on top of their already, you know, scheduled council or commission hearings.
Thank you.
Members, do you have any questions? You recognize Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if you got some correspondence about this. I know I got a couple emails. One of them was from Amy Zubali, and she had talked about certain rural counties and how they rely on their tax base. Have you considered some kind of tweak for the smaller counties that don't have a large tax base for their municipals and how they take that kind of financial component into account?
You recognize.
Thank you, Chair. I have gotten a lot of correspondence. Trust me. So, yes, there have been some people who have come and mentioned that to me. I told them that I was open to the idea of discussion, and if they wanted to bring me any sort of language to look at, I'd be more than happy to look at it. I have not received any specific language as far as that item. We obviously have a couple more committee stops. I do want to also remind everyone that fiscally constrained counties, they get additional funding from the state every year. There is a formula in statute that provides additional funding to those fiscally constrained counties. So just want to make sure that everyone knows that as well, but be more than happy to look at language for those rural areas.
Representative Antone, do you have a follow-up?
It's okay.
Okay. Go ahead. You're recognized.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for all your hard work on this bill, and thank you for working with the various municipal utilities that might be impacted or will be impacted by your bill. So I did hear you say that you will work with them as you go to the next stop, right?
You're right.
Yes.
Okay. Ranking Member Joseph, did you have another question that I skipped?
I did. Okay. So separate from some of the stuff that came through in the emails, I know in the last committee we heard a similar bill. And I don't know if you've been in touch with that particular representative about, well, I guess it doesn't even matter. The different question is, one thing that came up in his bill, which I think may still be an issue in your bill, is how it addresses existing contracts. How does your bill impact existing contracts? Do you have some kind of, or contemplating some kind of grandfather clause or something to address existing contracts?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. So I'm not familiar with the contents of the other representative's bill. Would be more than happy to look at it. We didn't specifically address existing contracts other than, you know, when a new contract is created or amended or renewed about the public hearing. But I'd be happy to look at that.
One more.
So in addition to the contracts issue, the same kind of concern, but slightly different, applies to bond obligations, where that municipality may have taken into account those revenues generated from their utility in committing to the bond obligations. Does your legislation take that into account?
Thank you. So we don't address bond obligations in here, and no one had came and spoke to me about that. So it wasn't an issue that was part of this process, but if you have specific circumstances that are coming to mind, we can sit down and talk about those.
Yeah, so I'll just say that I'm not the expert on that, but the League of Cities, I'm sure, could probably sit down and chat with you about
that.
Yeah, thank you.
Plenty of conversation. All right, do we have any other questions? All right, no questions. We do have public testimony, though. Bradley Kushner from the Florida Tax Watch, information only, wants to present. You are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon. My name is Bradley Kuznir, and I'm the Director of Strategic Relations for Florida Tax Watch, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit taxpayer research institute and government watchdog that for more than 44 years has worked hard to improve the effectiveness, efficiency, and accountability of Florida government, and to promote a fair and equitable system of taxation. I am here for informational purposes only. A December 2023 Mason-Dixon telephone poll conducted for Florida Tax Watch indicates that approximately half of Florida's registered voters believe that state and local governments spend tax revenue wastefully. Florida Tax Watch urges that this should always be the underlying question. Although municipality utility rates are not tax revenue, I share these results with you to emphasize Florida Tax Watch's long-held belief that taxpayers should face the lowest possible total burden for services. If a municipality utility service generates excess revenue, it is far better to reduce utility rates rather than divert utility revenue to pay for non-utility related municipal expenses. Bearing that in mind, Florida Tax Watch recommends remaining mindful of outstanding bonds or any other utility-related financing obligations of local government when considering these changes contemplated by this bill. Florida Tax Watch encourages consideration of all options to address municipality utility regulations that are in the best interest of Florida taxpayers. Florida Tax Watch commends Representative Cabrera for her efforts and for putting Florida taxpayers first. We look forward to working with you and your colleagues on this. Thank you, Chair Gilombardo, for the opportunity to speak.
Oh, you said my name right. Good job. Good job. All right, we have Rebecca O'Hare from the Florida League of Cities is an opponent and wishes to speak on the amendment and the bill. So if you want to do both of them, you're more than welcome to knock that out now.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chair Giamalombardo, and I will direct my comments to the strike all. And good afternoon. So first off, I'd like to thank Representative Posada Cabrera for this amendment. While we do have concerns, and I don't want to get ahead of myself in going into too much detail about those concerns, primarily because I have not gotten a lot of feedback since the amendment came out last night. So I hope you'll indulge me to reserve additional comments after this meeting. And we're still in opposition to the bill, but I do think it's important to recognize it's a very positive step, because I do believe, Representative Besada Cabrera, you have listened to our suggestions with respect to how the transfer rate methodology is determined. And moving from the Public Service Commission language is especially helpful. And you and I have had that discussion specifically, and we appreciate that. And notably, so it addresses those technical issues that we've had about that. And now it simply imposes a 10% cap on gross revenues that are transferred for non-utility functions. And as we get more feedback on that, we'll stay in touch with you about it. As to the surcharge issue, this bill does eliminate those statutorily authorized surcharges that are in current law. And the effective date of the bill is, as I recall, July of 2025. So a few of you have asked questions about how will this affect existing contracts that may be predicated on those expected revenue streams under current law, and also potential bond obligations that have been incurred with the expectation of current revenue streams. And given that, under the provisions of this bill, it would not be an understatement to say that many places are going to take a pretty severe haircut. Building in some kind of transition period or glide path so that adjustments and decisions can be made about how to best handle these changes going forward would be very beneficial, so that you could mitigate those impact on those bond obligations, any impacts to contractual provisions that may need to be revised, also decisions about whether to continue service in some areas or whether a decision to stop providing service should be made, and if so, is there a legal path forward to be able to do that? And then also any terms of those contracts that are based on those current revenue streams and obligations. And for that reason, a longer transition period, I think, would be very beneficial. And then lastly, it was mentioned the concern about fiscally constrained areas. And there is no definition in law of a fiscally constrained city, but there are cities that are within fiscally constrained counties. And there are a few cities that are in counties that are not fiscally constrained that, by all considerations, would constitute a fiscally constrained city. There's no question that this bill would have an outsized impact on those areas, and so we would continue with our recommendation that some kind of accommodation be made for those areas, and I do have some language to provide to you in that regard. I'll be happy to do so after this. And with that, I'll conclude my remarks, and thank you, Representative Besada Cabrera, once again for this positive step forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. And next we have Gregory Black from Deploy US Inc. waves in support. And then we have Mr. Ryan Matthews from the Florida Municipal Electric Association is an opponent, wishes to speak.
Thank you, Chairman. Ryan Matthews with Gray Robinson, representing the Florida Municipal Electric Association. If I could check a optimistically working together box, I would have checked that as opposed to opposition, particularly in light of the strike all that was released last night. And candidly, we were one of those entities, being the Florida Municipal Electric Association, which I'll pause to say is a 33-member association of city-owned electric utilities throughout the state of Florida. We provide power to around 4 million people, roughly 13 to 14% of the state's population. We were, in fact, one of those entities who interpreted the strike call to say that there would be a general fund transfer cap of 10% of all revenue, not just the revenue produced or derived from customers outside of extraterritorial differences. So that is a stark difference and a very positive step forward that we recognize. I have to say that Chair Besada Cabrera has been more than gracious with her time. We have discussed this issue for well over a year now, dating back to this committee, last legislative session as well. So in addition to FMEA, I also represent countless local governments, the League of Cities being an association, but individual local governments who provide water, wastewater, natural gas, and electric services as well. So I don't want to drill on and echo the comments of Ms. O'Hara, my colleague, but I would say there are a couple of things that I want to put on the record just for you all to consider as we move forward. One of those would be in any reduction, whether it be a new cap on general fund transfer for extraterritorial residents or a reduction in surcharge for water and wastewater, because remember, statutorily, a municipality can extend a surcharge in water and wastewater of up to 50% currently, would be lowered to 25% under this new language. But from an electric standpoint, the Public Service Commission allows for a surcharge. It is not currently in Florida statute, so there is a difference there that I want to bring to your attention. So any reduction in a water and wastewater surcharge could potentially have a negative impact on bond obligations. Utility revenue is sometimes utilized as collateral for taking on debt and new obligations that a municipality may have. So we would echo sort of a phased-in approach if a change were to be made so that you did not interfere with those bond obligations. Also, as it relates to surcharge, I want to bring to your attention that any service that's provided outside of a municipality's boundaries, an interlocal agreement is entered into by law. So there are two parties to that agreement, and there is consideration given. Not only do the recipients receive a service of utilities, but they also get other consideration as well. For instances, there are instances where local governments will enter into an interlocal agreement whereby the municipality will extend its water or wastewater service. In return, those county residents get free or reduced entrance into Parks and Recs Department services, et cetera. So there is a give and take, and there is consideration in that interlocal agreement. Representative Cassell, I would say, in those interlocal agreements, to your question particularly, there is usually language found within those contracts that say if the law is changed, the agreement can be renegotiated. So you could potentially pit local governments who have come to an agreement and accord against each other for new ideas and whatnot. That's just something we want to raise. Chair Duggan, to your point, the way that we read the language currently, it would be the city of Jacksonville's 19-member council going to the various entities they serve to have those meetings. So we would like to also, as we have discussions recently, on the various governance structures of utilities, we do have certain municipal electric utilities that are structured by an authority, thereby the city commission is not necessarily the body that sets the rates of that utility. So we would ask you to consider potentially an authority exemption or some change thereby for our folks who already have a overrepresented model or a more equality based system as it relates to where representation stands in that regard. All that to say, again, we're extremely pleased with the direction that this legislation is going. We're very appreciative of Chair Posada Cabrera, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Representative Cassell, you got a question.
Thank you, and thank you so much for speaking today. And I may have misunderstood you, so that's why I wanted to ask a question for clarification. Obviously, we know that the PSC oversees the electric private portion of this, and I thought that you mentioned that they can impose surcharge. They can impose surcharges and allow the private utility companies to charge surcharges to their customers. Did I misunderstand you, or is that accurate?
No, I must have misspoken. Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry. The Public Service Commission, by rule, allows for a surcharge on municipal electrics to make up for a municipal public service tax that the county generally collects as well. So,
did you have a question? You look like you had. No? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. All right, now, members, we are in debate. Anybody have any debates? We're still in the strike call. Representative Duggan.
I'm sorry, if we're going to go have debate on the bill,
All right. All right. All right. All right. Nice. Good. All right. You want to debate on the strike call? Ranking Member Joseph, you are recognized for debate on the strike call.
Here we go. I just wanted to commend the representative, Madam Chair, on the effort that she's clearly put in, right? We saw, as I mentioned, a similar bill, and yours takes into account some of the issues in a positive direction that we didn't see with the other bill. So I wanted to acknowledge that with the strike all, and just, I know it's going to pass, so I'm just encouraging people to vote in favor of the strike all.
All right. You are recognized to close on the strike all. All right, thank you. Members without objection, strike all is adopted. Now we are on the bill as amended, and we have public testimony. It's the same folks. All right. All right. I thought you were trying to give me a whole nother list there. I was like, it's the same exact people. All right. So members will go to debate on the bill. Now, Representative Duggan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say again how much I appreciate you meeting with representatives of my city and with my municipally owned utility and addressing their concerns. As Ryan highlighted, we do, and as you acknowledge, I still want to work with you on clarifying who has to show up for these meetings, but I really appreciate you.
All right. Representative Antone.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, just want to thank you for your hard work on this bill, and hopefully that you will work with the City of Orlando, Orlando Utilities, and we'll get some changes made regarding the natural gas issue, and looking forward to your changes to the bill. Thank you.
Representative Campbell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to go ahead and take a point of privilege in thanking the staff and everybody involved for educating me on this issue, the members, too, going back from last session. This has been a lot of knowledge to me in taking, and it has really helped in learning what it is that we do up here. And Representative, your due diligence in making sure all parties involved on this issue was heard. I know I've gotten phone calls from constituents, Floridians, about this issue, and so I still have some concerns regarding, how the transition that we get there from here. I agree that there should be some type of representation, but I just want to see that we have a soft landing as far as when we do implement this, that cities are not impacted immediately. I also would have also concerns about, the gas and seeing if there is something that we can do, since gas, there's options and choices for gases that people have in allowing that to be exempt on this bill. But as far as, your due diligence, your work ethic and showing me what it looks like to work a bill and make sure everybody's involved, kudos to you. And for right now, I'm up, and I'll be looking and seeing this go to the floor and seeing how it transforms into the bill that that represents everybody.
Representative Kennedy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I represent Lakeland, City of Lakeland, which is among the best of the good guys in the municipal utility world. And again, this is a bit of a Representative Busada Cabrera love fest today on this committee, but I really just want to compliment you for listening and also for the time you've spent both with my folks in the City of Lakeland, and you and I were on the phone after 9 o'clock last night talking through this. And so thank you for that. And thank you also for being so focused on protecting taxpayers, because that is an important consideration, of course, as well. And so finding the balance between the two is something that you have clearly spent a tremendous amount of time and effort to do. So thank you very much for that.
Representative Cassell, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, adding to the love fest for you, Representative, there's a big difference in where we were at last week with a similar bill, where your bill really does address some of those concerns. I'm very torn at how I want to proceed with my vote, because I think there needs to be a better balance. And I do think your bill provides the better balance that we were having, really some detailed conversations about last week. I think for me, I still do have some concerns that my city, the City of Hollywood, just like Representative Kennedy mentioned, is one of those good actors in this space, that we're still not at that place yet where I can be a yes. I do hope to get there by the time we get to the floor, because I do think we need to have some better balance and some better representation
for those folks that, you know, haven't had their voices heard. I think that's important. I think it's important that we, you know, like I said, just really strike that balance. And we're getting closer, but just not close enough for me to be a yes today. But I applaud you on your work, and I look forward to having conversations with you more specifically about my city's concerns. And hopefully we can get to a better landing spot, and I can be a yes on the floor. But thank you for your work on this.
Do you have any more debate? Oh, Representative Joseph.
So I don't need to say that your bill has been better than some of the products we've seen before. I think what I would like to see really worked out is something to address the contractual obligations, because that's a constitutional issue, as well as the bond obligations, and then trying to figure out an appropriate carve-out to address the different kinds of gas the gas utilities, because they're not all the same. Some fit in the category that you just described, but some not necessarily. So I would love to see that worked out, you know, however that needs to work out. And if you need me to participate in those detailed discussions, I'm happy to. If not, I can just try to find the right people to connect you to. I know some of the municipalities reached out to me about specifically the fiscally constrained concerns. Trying to think too many words at the same time, and trying to figure out a way to do something for them as well. And we can talk offline about what that would be. So for today, I'm going to be a no, but I look kind of like what was said before. I wish I had a vote that was like, instead of a yes or a no, optimistically looking forward to a yes.
Representative Caruso.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill forward. I've been pretty outspoken when it comes to taxation without representation with regards to utilities over the last couple of years. And I appreciate what you're doing here, because I think it begins to address that issue. I really appreciate the concept of having public hearings and giving people at least the opportunity to speak out, although they may not get to vote on that issue. I do have concerns with regards to, you know, bond issues and obligations they're under based on those revenue streams, existing contracts, as mentioned before. But one of the things I wanted to, another concern was the reference to 10% of gross revenues. And I'd just ask that you look to see if you meant net revenues in that concept instead of gross revenues. But I'm going to hear you again in State Affairs, I'm sure, and look forward to working with you. I'll be up on the bill, and see you in State Affairs.
All right, members, do we have any more debate? All right. Well, I want to thank you for working with us, and this is, last year, things have evolved. This has been a little bit different than last year. This is a little bit more of a love fest. That's three love fests. But thank you for all your hard work. I know you've worked a lot on this, and a lot of thought and input from stakeholders, and everybody has been on this. So thank you. You are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, and thank you to Chair Jay Lombardo and your amazing staff, Mr. Keating, for all your hard work and participation on this. And I want to thank all the members, either that are here on the committee who have participated, those who don't sit on this committee but who have participated, and other entities that have reached out to me. I've extended it to, you know, everyone who has said that their municipality may have concerns or issues, that I'd be more than happy to sit down with you and them and have a meeting to hear them out and hear their side of it. Like I said, it's a work in progress, so we still have some more changes and tweaks we want to make, but I appreciate all the participation, and let's just not forget, you know, why we are doing this. We are doing this to protect the hardworking Floridians, to make sure and ensure that everyone is a good steward of their hard-earned dollars. So I ask for your support today. Thank you.
Thank you. And you close. Amy, please call the roll. Yes.
Vice Chair Lamarca is excused. Ranking Democratic Member Joseph?
No.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Antone?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Hannity?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cassell?
No.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Robinson is excused. Yeager?
Yes.
All right. By your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations. All right, members, there's no further business. Representative Joseph moves. We adjourn without objection. Thanks.